Welcome to another episode of The Suspendables with funny man Jungle Jim Jerome and retired NHL star Russ Cortinel.
Here's Cortinel. He scores! Cortinel speeding in!
Each week they unleash their raw, stripped-down, unfiltered opinions on all things hockey and maybe other stuff too. Who knows? Inside stories, absolutely. Outrage, guaranteed. Offside, for sure. And always plenty of laughs. Strap in. The Suspendables is coming at you right now.
We're going to go in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hi again, everybody. It's Jungle Jim Jerome coming out with another episode of The Suspendables with me and the one and only Russ Cortinel. This is week show number 98 that we're doing, and love it. We can tell you all about it. Of course, each and every week you get to listen to it. It's me and Russ telling stories, mostly Russ, of course, telling stories. And this week will be no different. And a lot of what you like is Russ's opinion on many things. Well, on all things, he's very opinionated. So, Rusty boy, there it is. There's our opening right there. Rusty White Claw Cortinel. So that's RWCC. Okay, there's your nickname.
My initials too, RWC.
There you go. No shit.
Yeah,
Russ William. White Claw. Russell, there we go. How we don't have him as a sponsor? We only mention him about 90 times a freaking week. But anyway, Rusty, we're going to talk about a bunch of things. I want to get your opinion on COVID. What's happening there? We got it's crazy times. I wonder if you were the health minister, what you'd do. Maybe I'll ask you that. Jason Spezza, in an incredible deal, what he's done.
What a great story.
Great story for what he's done and getting together with players on the Toronto Maple Leaf team to look after guys on the AHL club, the Marlies. We're going to talk about that. Fantastic idea. I want to ask you, Russ, teams are starting to position themselves. They're going to make the playoffs. Some aren't. What would you do to manage ice time with 8, 9, 10 games to go? How do you do it with these guys? So we want to talk about that from you. Also a story over in Europe where sports clubs, soccer clubs who are so upset with the hate trolling and hate mongering on their social media sites, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, that they have stepped up to say, Zuckerberg, you own this Facebook. You are now responsible for, how much racist, hating, nefarious conduct by people on these sites. You got to do something about it, which is fine, right? That's has been talked mm-hmm. about. But Russ, what they did in a show of support for each other. I'll pull the story up here and we can talk about it, is they took down their social media sites.
Good for them.
So let me read a bit of this, Rusty. The headline, English Soccer Unites to Boycott Social Media in Protest of Online Abuse. English Soccer is uniting to boycott social media for 4 days in response to relentless online abuse of players. The blackout of Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram will begin next Friday and last until Monday, covering a full round of games in the men's and women's professional leagues. It will be undertaken by the FA, Premier League, English Football League, Women's Super League, Women's Championship, as well as player, manager, and referee bodies and anti-discrimination group Kick It Out.
Wow.
The boycott shows English football coming together to emphasize that social media companies must do more to eradicate online hate, a joint statement read, while highlighting the importance of educating people in the ongoing fight against discrimination. The bodies are concerned about relentless flow of discriminatory messages and are calling for real-life consequences for purveyors of online abuse across all platforms. Two second division clubs, Birmingham and Swansea and Scottish champion Rangers, have held weekend-long social media boycotts recently, while former Arsenal and France striker Thierry Henry has removed himself from social media because of racism and bullying.
Wow.
What do you think of that, Russ?
Well, we know, I live in the United States, and we know that the big tech social media companies have no problem shutting down sites that don't agree with their platforms, especially in politics, with COVID. If you put out something that they don't agree with, boom, it shut, it's been shut down. So hate and racism, they should be all over, because if they don't agree with something, they're quick to shut people down. So they're good at it. They're good at censoring people, so they should be good at this.
Well, what they're saying is that they're not screening these people enough. We can't catch up with them, right? Some of it is, so I got to show my license, you know, with my picture and my ID. So that's what they're
but
screaming
about.
I mean,
if you're, there's certain words that should trigger a
investigation.
Show up. No, yeah, like they're after 9/11, they were tapping phones so that if you said a word, they, you know, start listening in on the call. And so they should, with all the technology we have today, if somebody makes a racist comment, it should pop up and then they can shut that person down, I would think.
In a perfect world. Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you obligated to do, Russ, as a celebrity and a sports figure, you know, in this day of social media, when you started out playing hockey, of course, there's none of this around, but now it's, you know, it's ubiquitous, right? It's just everywhere. What do you have to do, Russ? What are people allowed to know about you, and your family and your background and your day-to-day stuff? Some celebs are way more active than others on it. Some are dead set against it because it impedes their privacy, like you read about. But what do you, are you obligated, Russ, that now you're in the limelight or were, to let people know about your private life?
Well, that's a personal choice. But once you become a public figure, that you're public, whether you are on social media or not, people are going to want to know more and they're going to find out more about you. So when you're paid to perform, if you're a politician, what you do is going to become public knowledge. And so I whether you're on social media or not, and then there's people who aren't famous who want to be famous, who are on these social, you know, and trying to get there. So you, when you're paid to perform, you kind of give up that, you know, that privacy. And then if you want to go on social media and share when you're on vacation and where you're at for dinner and where you're walking, I mean, people are going to find out where it is and they're going to show up. So you, whether you give it up or you don't, chances are, you know, autograph seekers and people who want to see you or talk to you are going to find out where that location is, whether it's an athlete walking into a practice facility, their favorite place to eat, the buses that carry musicians to venues, they wait there. Movie sets are filmed in a lot of street settings in big cities, small towns, countryside. Mm-hmm. They can find you. So whether you publicize it or not, the person who wants to meet and see that individual is going to, they're going to find out and have access to you, whether it's close enough to get a autograph or a picture, they're going to be able to get close enough to say something to that person.
Do you think they're going to get to a place where they might be liable, Russ, for just letting people come on there and run amok?
I don't know, because okay. I'm on Instagram and you can say private or public. So you can have your, allow people to join your Instagram account that can watch what you're doing. So where I'm coming from is the hate, the racism comments. There's no place for them in our society. And we all know there's racism. We're not without it. We know, we've talked about it on our show, but
with your own family. Right?
Well, yeah, but I mean, it goes back to, we're not a completely, racist society. We're not, there's a small portion of people that are. Because if the United States was a racist country, we wouldn't have elected a black president, not once, but twice.
Right.
That just would not happen, nor would we have minorities. They wouldn't be allowed to play, or they wouldn't, you know, and it's getting better. There's a lot of work to be done. My kids are are sharing information with me and my daughter and her fiance, not boyfriend anymore, Eric, are doing some great things in Minneapolis, trying to help minority communities. But that somebody going on some site or you're talking about and they're ripping somebody because they're pissed off that they're doing something and then they throw in the race.
That they let in a goal, you know?
Yeah. I saw something on Instagram. They were chasing two players in England down the street. And I was like, what is this? Yeah. Like some fans. There was two guys running. You could tell they're athletes the way they're running. And then there was about 10 guys and then the fat, slower guys were behind them. There was like 40 or 50 of these guys chasing them down a street. And I don't know why, but it just said fans chasing two players over something.
Right. Well, there's been guys who've been murdered I think it was in South America.
Yeah. Was it Brazil or Colombia or something?
Yeah, something like that. It makes you appreciate how great Canadian sports fans are. We think of, for example, there was a kicker, first of all, in the CFL in Saskatchewan, I forget the guy's name, missed a field goal and people were really cruel to the guy with putting shit on his lawn and all sorts of other stuff. Very rare, very rare. When you hear that, Steve Smith, Russ, who played for the Oilers and went to fire
put
a pass.
It, put it in the far corner his own net.
Of his own net, right? And I remember that. I was at the game. As a matter of fact, I remember that. It was Oilers were trying to three-peat back then, and they probably would have. Whether that wrecked the whole series, I don't know. But I remember poor Steve. That night I saw him. We were at a restaurant after and saw him. I mean, the guy was a mess. He was an absolute mess. What was kind of cool is the outpouring of support for the guys by the Oilers fans, trying to support this guy and give him some, positivity, as they say. But in other countries, man, around the world, you would fear for the guy's existence, if that happened, but good on Canadian sports fans.
We just boo.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
because I've been booed.
Yeah.
Oh my God, so fun. No fun. There's nowhere to hide when 17,000 people or 18,000 people are booing.
Why did you get booed? Why would you ever get booed?
In Montreal, my last year was a disaster. I signed a big contract at the time.
Right.
And I was the leading scorer of the team the year before, tore my rotator cuff in a freak accident in warmups, got tripped by our defenseman, hit the boards and missed a lot of games. And then the media turned on me and it was awful. I mean, it was a year that, I don't like to recall too much. I don't talk about it that much, but it was a terrible year for me. And then I was playing for the team and Pat Burns was riding me, sat me out. And so there's the media was just giving it to me and I wasn't playing very well. And, we're playing in the playoffs against Hartford and it would have been the first round. And at the beginning of the game, they're booing me when I touch the puck. And then in double overtime, I get the game winner, game seven. And then I'm getting a standing ovation. And Dick Irwin said in the broadcast, I played it to watch the overtime goal, not the fact I was getting booed. But I played the overtime goal and I listened to the broadcast recently for the first time. And and Dick Irwin saying, what's interesting about this game is that Russ Courtnell was getting booed at the beginning of the game and now they're on their feet cheering for him.
Right.
So anyways, that was my experience being booed was no fun.
So how old were you, Russ?
I was 25, I think.
Oh yeah. So nowhere near thinking I gotta retire.
No, I was in the prime of my right there. Like I was the year before I led the team. I made Team Canada, 1991. I came back. I was like ready to take it to the next level. And I think the third game in, Alain Côté tripped me in warmups when I was going to the net in warmups, my own defenseman. And I spun out of control and I tore my right rotator cuff. I ended up missing like 42 games.
Right.
And then I just, you know, it just things weren't good. So, and I just signed a contract where I was the 20th highest paid player for a second in the league. And so they were all over me because I was getting paid that much money at that time. And then they felt like I wasn't, I was not faking it, but I wasn't trying to get back as fast as I'd like or something like that. But it was weird. I remember carrying groceries downtown Montreal back to my apartment when I was hurt. Mm-hmm. So you can, with a torn rotator cuff, I could hold my bags. I'm walking back to my apartment and some guy's like, "You're faking it." You know, like yelling from his car because he could see me carrying these groceries, yeah. But I couldn't raise my hand over my head. And the same injury is bugging me right now. And so as I'm talking to you, I'm lifting my arm up and it's, if I put my elbow back, it freaking hurts.
Right.
But anything down low, it's fine. So I think that injury I'm talking about, I never got scoped because they screwed up the medical staff. They should have operated right away, but they thought it would heal on its own, which it mm-hmm. did, but it took a lot longer. So yeah. Anyways, it's
a mess. You're one of the lucky ones, Russ, with no concussion syndrome, right?
Well, I had concussions, so I had four I'll or
take
five.
That back. Okay.
But I don't think I have any serious problems. I stub my right toe once in a while when I'm walking, which is I had my brain checked out by a doctor here in LA mm-hmm. and she's asking me all these questions about my head. And so
we're asking questions about
yeah, exactly. So she goes, "Do you ever stub your right toe? Like you're walking along and you just all of a sudden, you know, it's like what? You hit the carpet, this raised carpet on a hardwood floor. Like you just," and I go, "God, yeah, that happens." And I never asked her, I said, "What's that?" And she goes, That's a sign you've had concussions. So I'll be walking along now and I all of a sudden right toe and it's some side effect from having concussions. But I didn't ask her like, "Should I worry about this like later on in life?" Or
just a reminder, if you'd like to connect online with Russ or Jimmy or engage with them on social media, find out how at thesuspendables.com.
Rusty, we love the feel-good stuff, right? Always have. Allow me to read what I think is just a fantastic deal. And speaking of getting booed, you know, Jason Spezza's career hasn't gone completely smooth, right? They kind of expected more from him. Maybe even in Ottawa, too, and then Dallas. He's in Toronto now, okay? Mm-hmm. Hanging on to a career.
Yeah.
Signed, I think, a one-year deal that he signed with them. Here's the headline. Spezza spearheaded Leafs' plan to pool money for Marlies players. Jason Spezza is helping to ensure Toronto Marlies players get paid. Spezza led an initiative in which a group of Toronto Maple Leaf players pooled together money to make a contribution to their AHL counterparts. "I have to give Spezza a lot of credit on this," said John Tavares, the captain of the team, when asked about the contribution. According to Sportsnet, Luke Fox, "He kind of brought it into the forefront from the leadership standpoint, and the leadership group thought it was really important. I think we know, society as a whole, but certainly in our game, how tough a year it has been for so many people. With the organization, we wanted to make sure we try to take care of our own. The 37-year-old Spezza is on a league minimum contract this season, but has totaled over $89 million in his career earnings. An AHL's player's premium salary for the 2021 campaign is $51,000. Per the league CBA. However, due to a shortened season and minimal gate revenue, players' salaries have been reduced to 52%. Head coach Sheldon Keefe had high praise for his club's action. it just, first of all, speaks to the character of our group, but I think it also just speaks to the recognition of the fact through this pandemic, people in all walks of life are going through some tough times, and the hockey business as well at different levels. If you're a guy playing on an NHL contract, it's a challenge to get through this period, Keefe continued. I don't know a whole lot about it, but not surprised that our players have the character that they do, and they stepped up. I love this thing, Russ.
Yeah, that's a great story. There's so many good stories that have happened during COVID that we've heard about. This is nice, but I have to laugh at the same time. Can you imagine the guy who's like...
I said, Russ will have an angle on this, right?
Well, can you imagine like the bottom-tiered guy who's playing for the Toronto Maple Leafs going, oh, fuck, I don't want to help anybody in the minors. They want my job. I'm just trying to stay here. I hope the guy's a freaking UPS driver next year.
Right.
But no, what a great story. And I always love hearing people trying to help other people that are struggling. And, you know, we think about how much athletes make and all, you know, anybody who's a celebrity, movies people. And it's nice when they give back. They didn't forget where they came from. And these guys, you know, they're making a decent living in the minors, but they're not near where the NHL guys are. And so now you're saying that their salaries were cut in half. That's you know, it's tough. And I think that shows a lot of respect for one another and dignity and good for them.
20 years ago, coming up in September, of course, is 9/11. And when you bring this up, when we read this story about Jason Spezza and all the players stepping up, forking out their own cash, it sounds like to me, mm-hmm. that they're doing this to look after their own, as they say. I think that all started, Russ, back in 9/11. And I remember, you know, of course, we remember the time, but when 3 or 4 days had gone by or a week had gone by, there was, I want to say, Rosie O'Donnell went public and forked over $1 million cash.
Hmm.
And I remember everyone just being knocked out by it. And it started a waterfall and a huge stream of other celebrities falling into place right behind her. And it was incredible. It's incredible what they did. And I think that started a lot of this stuff, a lot of this thinking over how can we do it? And the obvious way is money, right? Money. And we would never want to put anyone in a terrible spot saying, you've got to give your money up, you know, to do it. That's not fair, but what a great thing. What an unbelievably great thing that they're doing.
Yeah, it is great. And you've been to our charity event in Victoria and raising money for mental health. And we never ask for any amount, a certain amount. We know what people have and what they don't have. And we just put on the event and here's what you can do. You know, people like the Boston Pizza, Jim Treliving and George right. Melville were awesome. Like they're like, how can we help? And we sent them our programs, you know, here's our sponsorship. And let them decide what they mm-hmm. wanted to do. And I'll never forget, we put our kids in private school and I was a public school kid and the private school was new for me. Other than going to Notre Dame, which didn't feel like a private school, but mm-hmm. I was shocked when they called me after I wrote the checks for our kids to go to the school. And I get a call going, yeah, we need this and we need that. And we think you should give $10,000. Mm-hmm. And I went, I just wrote a check for 25 grand for one of my kids to go to this frickin' school that personally there's a public school right down the road that I would have gladly dropped them off at mm-hmm. for her. And now you want 10. I go, what was the 25 for?
Right. Right.
And,
right.
Oh, well, we need this and we need that. And so I said the 20 that wasn't included in the 20. Oh no, that was for this. And I'm like, oh my God, Pinks. No, yeah. I'm not giving you anything. And then eventually we start giving a little bit of what we could give, but that asking people or telling people what they should give is to me, it's not right. It's let the people decide. We had a homeless guy show up in Victoria with a bag full of pennies and he donated it to our charity event.
What the heck?
Yeah, on the radio show, because on Thursday we did the call in for mental health and for 12 hours.
Yes.
And people called in and they donated. We had all these awesome volunteers that would work, man the phones, and we'd be on the air. And I don't know how this homeless guy, he must have been listening to the radio, but he walked in. And I mean, you could smell him when he walked in.
Sure.
He was definitely a homeless guy and he had a bag full of pennies. And he goes, I've been saving these and I wanted to give them to something. And after listening to your show, I now know who to give them to. And the girls had to go. And I think the volunteers were, a lot of them were from Royal Bank of Canada, and they were, you know, taking down your name, address, and credit card. And this guy, they had to go down to the bank and get a bunch of wrappers for the pennies to roll all the coins. But that's my thing, is give what you want to give. And these hockey players, who knows what they're going to give, right?
Right.
But the fact they're doing something for some people in their organization, they're helping each other, I think it's great.
Yeah, and the most recent story of an athlete giving back that I can think of, there's many, right? And athletes do all sorts of stuff, but some become more public than others. In 2015, PK Subban gave $10 million to the Montreal Children's Hospital.
That is great, but it's not. We shouldn't just say athletes. I mean, people give. And the thing about a celebrity is they get the attention because it's media worthy. And the person who's not famous but gives a bunch of money doesn't get the same attention because either they don't ask for it or people don't know who they are. So they don't make as big a deal of it.
Right. Yeah. Well said.
Mm-hmm. I think this is a, this is beyond being a celebrity and it's just people who have a big heart and give. And, and this past year or year and a half, we've seen a lot of people giving and trying and, trying to help people who are suffering. And this is just another good story. It's just getting attention because, you know, they're Toronto Maple Leafs.
Right on. Because they're the Leafs for sure. Here's another headline. I think I'm onto something, Rusty, reading headlines to you today.
Oh, boy.
Stu Cowan writes, maybe Patrick Waugh could light a fire under the Canadiens. Former Canadiens goalie now being represented by agent Neil Glasberg as he looks for a new opportunity. Talk about interesting timing. The founder, Neil Glasberg, the founder and president of PBI Sports and Entertainment, which represents more than 60 pro coaches and general managers in the NHL, NFL, and NBA, sent out a tweet Monday announcing he's now representing Hockey Hall of Fame player Patrick Waugh concerning NHL coaching and management opportunities. And anyone who's been around hockey knows how great he was, of course. You played with him, Russ. And and that fateful day when they kept him in there in a rout. He was pissed. He kept looking to the bench for him to pull him. He skates off, rips his mask off, and tells who's ever there within earshot, which is
he went over to the president and said something to Ron Corey, and then he walked by Mario Tremblay, the coach, and he said something to him, and then he went and sat at the end of the bench, and that was the last time he played for the Montreal Canadiens.
Right, and that's what he said. He said, this is the last time I'm going to play for the Montreal Canadiens, in so many words. I liked him. I liked him. I like how edgy that guy was. Not every player liked him, I recall, over the years. But had an edge, went to Colorado, coached. You played with him, Russ. Now this guy wants back in the fold. Is the timing right, Rusty?
So he was a junior coach, then a pro coach.
He owned a team,
He owns a team. And so very passionate, very passionate as a player, saw his passion as a coach. It went right into coaching, mm-hmm. translated into coaching. And so, you know, he obviously he's ready to come back in. And after 5 years, I think he hasn't coached in the NHL in 5 years. And so I'm sure he, you know, the Montreal job is a, he'd be great in Montreal. It's a high pressure job, as everybody knows who's played there and worked there. But he would be a good fit because he's been a player and then he coached.
It's scary to play for, man.
Well, I think because he was a player and won there and lost there and he's had the ups and downs of, as any player in Montreal, but he can relate to these players that are having to deal with it all the time. So I don't know. I've never heard much about him coaching, like on any inside information. I don't have any details of what kind of coach he was, but you know, if coached for 3 years in the National Hockey League, he must be a good coach.
Well, I think it goes to show you too that guys just miss the game so much, right? They leave the game and then getting their name back out there.
It doesn't surprise me with him because how passionate he was for the game. It doesn't, right. You know, after you spent 4 years with somebody, that guy loved to win more than anybody. He was so passionate and
temper, man. He had a wicked temper.
Well, I mean, I didn't see his temper as a player. I just saw his commitment to like wanting, you know, he wasn't a yeller or screamer or anything. He's just so like, he was in the zone, man. When he played, right. Fuck, he was in the zone.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Oh yeah. But I saw what you're talking about when he had a couple arguments on with coaches or whatever.
That one time he was grabbing the glass.
Yeah. And we saw that with Gretz too. Never saw that as a player. And right. Gretz, remember Gretz had some pretty good screaming matches with referees.
Sure.
I never saw that. He was such a quiet, I would compare the two of them just in the zone. And then as coaches, they were very similar too, like the both showing their emotions.
Right. Very good, Russ. Before we go, we got to get out of here. But before we do, teams are positioning themselves now. There's less than 10 games left, unless you're Vancouver. There's about 30 left.
Yeah.
So many games in hand. A bunch of injuries I see when I open up my little news apps and sports apps that guys are getting injured. You got teams, Russ, that are in a position to make the playoffs, that they're going to make it. You got the 10 games left or whatever on either side of that. What do you do, Russ, as a coach with managing, say the Oilers, for example, because I love the Oilers, and you've got the Draisaitl and mm-hmm. of course, Connor, Nugent Hopkins, your big gunners. What do you do about ice time for these guys, Russ? Do you adjust now? Do you say, God, should we sit them for a couple of games, Rusty? Or what's the deal there? That's what I want to do.
I think because of COVID and how crazy the it is right now with games and stuff, I think you definitely have to rest guys because it's unlike any other season. So I think the teams are positioning themselves for the playoffs and getting ready for the playoffs. So there's that aspect. And then the other teams are just hoping for a high draft pick that aren't going to make it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I think the teams that are in the playoffs, they want to stay where they're at or maybe move up. And then they want to just be ready and healthy for the beginning of the playoffs. And that might mean sitting some guys out that don't normally want to, you know, they don't want to sit out, but you've got to give them some rest because it's a haul. I mean, it's crazy. I just watched my son play 3 games in 3 nights and they had 2 bus trips and it was 5 hours each bus trip.
Jesus.
The third game was just like, they're just bagged.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Listen, Russ, we got to go. Before we do, you talked about your charity event back then. This is my favorite story. I didn't know how to set myself up with email. It was the Sunday afternoon after your event, you know, finished. 2 days of great time, best event I have ever been to. And Sunday, you lived in a beautiful place on backing onto the Pacific Ocean. And so did your brother. So I forget mm-hmm. who we were at, yours or your brother's house, with this big rap party with all the celebs. And I was sitting around talking to some of these guys going, you know, apparently there's email you can set yourself up with. And then a guy came over and said, I can set you up with that. And he did it for me. And I said, who's that, Russ? And he said, he's the guy who owns Yahoo in Canada or something.
Oh, that was Jeff Mallett. He was he's from Victoria. He was the 12th employee of Yahoo and big donor to our
event. He donated 150 grand to make it an even million. So anyway,
that's so funny. How good. I got to tell him that story.
Oh, it's a great story. Great story. So, many, many other stories that we have each and every week here on the Suspendables. Rusty, great job. What's up for the rest of the week for you? What are you doing?
The golf course opens after a 2-week hiatus.
Enough said.
Tomorrow.
Beautiful.
Yep. I played yesterday with Andrew Whitworth from the Rams.
I played
decent at a course I'd never played at before because ours was shut down, and I'm looking forward to getting out and banging the ball around.
You're lucky because lots of golf courses aren't open yet because of COVID. So. Four! Look out. Far right, look out. Rusty sliced another one. Okay. Get out there and work in your game, Rusty. Have a good week, everybody. Thanks, and we'll be back next week. See you later, Rusty.
The Suspendables is a weekly podcast series featuring former NHLer Russ Courtnell and host Jim Jerome. Join us for new episodes available each Wednesday morning. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. We invite you to subscribe and review or share the show with your friends and followers. Check out our website today, thesuspendables.com.